Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening, listening audience. You're tuned in to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. We're grateful to have you this January 26, 2017, for our next episode of Talk Straight, where that's just what we do. We keep it 100 and we talk straight. Episode tonight, Four Corners of a Violent Youth Mind. I think we can all agree that a major concern for most of America is...
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record. To send your message, press 1 at any time. To listen to your message, press 2.
To
re-record, press 3.
Excuse us. It's to understand why it is that youth engage so much in violence. And this is what we want to do tonight. I apologize for the mishap there. We were trying to get our guests squared away. And
for more
think
options,
here.
Press 4. To cancel, press star.
We'll continue to work with them there. So having said that, tonight we're going to be talking again about the subject matter, Four Corners of a Violent Youth Mind. And consistently, we were trying to get Mr. Khan, my brother actually, Khan Dockery out of the Chicago area, who is a former gang intervention specialist in the Chicago area. We're going to have him come on, and hopefully we'll have Bishop Marcus Campbell out of Nashville, Tennessee, who has a structured gang program, retention, a great gang intervention, program. And, of course, we have with us normally our panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, who you know is a supporter of our efforts to take this message across America and is the author of Steel High. Consistent with our show, if you haven't heard us before, what we do here at Talk Straight is we offer informational dialogue and hopefully things that will be constructive and can be used to help improve individuals' lives. And we want you to know that your comment and your suggestions, your questions are welcome here. You can call us directly at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. And we'll be glad to entertain your questions and or comments. If you're listening via Facebook, by all means, share with us as we have our conversation on our Facebook page and our dialogue there. We want to encourage you to do that as well. Having said that, again, what we'll do now is we'll go back to our discussion relative to the four corners of a violent youth mind. And we want to try to answer a few questions tonight. You heard music from War, which was an American funk band from Long Beach, California. And they were well known for such hit songs as "The World is a Ghetto," "Why Can't We Be Friends," "Low Rider," and "Summer," just to name a few. But they spoke at that time to an issue that I think is still relevant today. We'll hear more from War tonight throughout the show. Romans 12:2 reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, that prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." James, the first chapter in the 8th verse says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So let me give a background on these four corners that we describe. And those four corners involve ignorance, fear, anxiety, and ultimately the act of violence. I should offer you an explanation as to how they all relate to one another as we move forward. Ignorance. There is power and confidence as well as motivation in possessing knowledge. The more knowledge one has, the less likely they are to be moved or threatened by their environment. The word ignorant is an adjective which describes a person who is in the state of being unaware. Often and incorrectly, the word is used to refer to individuals who deliberately disregard important information or fact. Ignorance is distinguished from stupidity, although both of them can lead to unwise and destructive acts. Individuals with little knowledge of a topic or idea are subject to be worse off than people who have absolutely no knowledge at all. Unfortunately, ignorance can be stifling in terms of learning, especially if a person believes that he or she is not ignorant. They know it all. A person who falsely convinced themselves that he or she is knowledgeable and are not, tend not to seek clarification about their own beliefs. but rather they rely on their own foolishness and ignorant position as a basis of fact. He or she may also read information that is contrary to what they have convinced themselves to believe, neither realizing its importance nor its understanding. This is the driving force that leads us to the end we call violence. And for a lot of young people, because culturally there has not been appropriate education in terms of their sense of identity and purpose, they grow up in environments where they have limited and often no knowledge at all about what is real and how they should prepare themselves, not just in their immediate block or neighborhood, but in the world abroad. Hence, they take a strong position to protect what they understand best, and often, again, that is limited knowledge, based on limited knowledge. When they are challenged by circumstance, such as poverty, such as limited resources, or all of the things within the ghetto or restricted environment, then they are forced to say, man, I got to do something. Well, that leads us to fear. Fear is the presence of anger, and its greatest indication is when you see concern an individual shows about harm to themselves or the loss of something or someone. They tend to perceive that whoever is in front of them that makes them think they're going to lose, that's the object of their fear. Excuse me. Then they train everything, all of their attention on those individuals. Some common reactions that we see associated with fear, the emotional state of being, fear, or isolation, inaction, and most commonly fight and flight, tend to take a defensive position, ready to fight anyone or take off and run just out of fear. And keep in mind that that fear often generates itself from not knowing the truth. You could see somebody, and this is what happened to a lot of young people, and they perceive that they're a threat to them or that they want something from them, and they put themselves in a defensive posture. Anxiety results out of this fear that comes from ignorance. It is apprehension that is caused by that fear of some danger or misfortune, even when they make an error. Uneasiness of mind that is related to the uncertainty of outcome. The mental stress of dealing with a real or perceived threat causes frustration over a period of time. And the more time goes by without some understanding resolution, the more this unaddressed concern or uneasiness exists, the more volatile that individual is to likely become. Some indications of anxiety include displaying depressive behavior, uninterested in self or how you look or present yourself to other people, nervousness, being fidgety, can't sit still, and becoming irrational in all of your thought and action, just to name a few. We see this too often in many of our young people in schools, on the street, at church, I would even say. When this continues over a period of time, and is unresolved, and they can't get answers from the preacher, from the teacher, from the politician, from nobody. Young people, just like we saw this past last weekend, they express themselves, not just young people, but old folks. We're talking about young people now. And we're talking about on the streets of major urban cities. When they can't get the knowledge and the understanding, they can't resolve their fears and anxiety, the end result too often, tragically, is violence in the streets. final result of untamed ignorance, stained fear, and expressed anxiety, results in irreversible action of harm or death towards somebody else, or oftentimes even oneself. There is a sad truth. A lot of young men who engage in gun battles with law enforcement officials, they do so knowing that they could lose their life, and that's called suicide by cop. Unfortunately, this behavior can overtake the best of people. From the time you're born, nobody thinks their baby would be anything but wonderful. But if these circumstances are present and an individual is not able to overcome or redirect themselves from it, unfortunately, we see this manifestation. And again, it's most common in certain areas, particularly urban areas. Some of the common results, as you well know, of this violence, most commonly is death or serious bodily or emotional injury, destruction of somebody's property too often. So we ask the question, what makes so many people react in violence toward others? And as we bring Pastor Waller in, welcome this evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. You've heard the backdrop of the conversation, and it brought us to the question, what makes folks so violent? What makes young people so violent? We want to try to answer that question tonight. Talk to me, Brother Pastor. Where are we at? Where are we at? What can we do? Is there any hope?
Yeah, truly, there's hope. Anytime, you know, you deal with a day, you know, and I thank God for what I've learned about him, and not knowing years ago that the word speaks about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is
go ahead,
that the Lord made, you know, that the Lord God has made, and, you know, you know, be glad and rejoice in it and things like that. So there's hope. You know, when he placed a day in motion, you know, you actually hear years ago what a difference a day make. So there is a possibility that change could take place in a positive realm.
Okay.
But the way things are now, and when you're young and don't know any better, I'm a great witness of that, being able to be in the atmosphere of violence.
Keep going, Pastor. I'm trying to get our guest on.
You
without the intent of being violent, violence is all around, and that was a come up of mine. And I can only say once that part it starts out and it began to grow. And
excuse me, one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
One second, Mr. Doctor,
go ahead.
There. Mr. Doctor, are you there? Okay. I'm sorry. We're trying to get our guest on. We've been trying to get him for a minute. But go ahead, Pastor. I apologize. Go ahead and continue.
That's okay. And as we were talking about, you know, violence and is there hope, and I always like to believe in the power of change. And know that we walk in according to what we see a lot of times, and that would distract the person from thinking that there is hope. And I think that's
right.
What has happened to us in our community.
Wow.
I know you know every side of town. In where I grew up at, you know, it's almost like what has been pinpointed is a way to keep destruction growing. And if we don't know anything about how to end it, then it will continue. So
right.
I just like what I've learned about the Word of God that helps me to understand that not many people know about the Word of God, because once you walk in ignorance and you don't know anything about God, you do your own thing. And that's what Paul said. He said, you know, he was doing things in ignorance. You know, he didn't know that he was persecuting God's people. You would think that he knew what he was doing and that it wasn't right and things of that nature, but he began to acknowledge that, and he admitted that, man, I was ignorant doing those things, but God knew. So,
right.
So to get to where I wanted to go at with this, you know,
hold on 1 second, Pastor, hold on one second. Mr. Doctor, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. We got him now. Just hold tight there, Mr. Doctor. We'll formally bring in. We have our panelist on. He was completing the thought. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, it's true. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's where I believe things could take place at. But I go back again to when we talked about violence and, you know, would it ever in our community? And I would say yes, hope. But when you're walking in ignorance and you don't know any better, I'm one of the greatest witnesses to know that was walking in ignorance. And so therefore I was doing things that I really didn't have a clue that I was bringing forth destruction and causing the for my own community to be in corruption through me. You see, so it's just a good thing that you brought that up. And I just want to just let it be known that, yeah, I do believe, man, that there's still hope and things will change once we get the correct information out on how to apply it. When you're young and don't know anybody, man, that's how it all starts, you know.
All right. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about I apologize, listening audience, for the inconvenience there, but we were trying to get our guest on tonight. His name is Mr. Khan Dockery. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. And yes, the name may sound familiar. That's my brother. Nonetheless, we want to speak to him about his expertise. Among other things, he's worked in a treatment facility there in the Chicago area, and he has previously worked as a gang intervention specialist. Did I get that right, Mr. Dockery?
That is correct.
Okay. And so our topic tonight is Four Corners of a Violent Youth's Mind. And let me just go, we were trying to get you in before we did our monologue so you can keep up with the conversation. But if you will permit me, if you'll just permit me to review just very briefly what we discussed. We discussed a four-step process to violent act. And the first step involved ignorance that's driven by limited knowledge. And we identify that oftentimes people take a defensive pose when they lack knowledge. That becomes a defense mechanism for them. But whether you accept truth or not, reality is going to exist. And what happens when they face certain realities and they're unprepared with knowledge is they automatically result to the human emotion fear. The fear is, I'm going to lose something. I'm the only one who is going to be left out or something negatively, what may be negatively impacted, right? Leads to isolation and fight and flight. And from there, the longer that fear goes unresolved, it manifests itself into anxiety, nervousness, or becoming irrational in thought and fidgety and even expressing some depression and having concern about your existence. And ultimately, young people who haven't oftentimes been around long enough to really know what's going on put themselves in positions where they either act in violence against themselves or someone else. We talked about suicide by cop. So that's where we are. Will you tell us a little bit about your experience in terms of dealing with the gangs there in Chicago, and how is it that you approached this mentality?
Well, it's a huge difference right now with what people call gangs in Chicago now. There used to be different fractions of organized activity, and what I've realized that's happening here in Chicago is that there's no kind of organization or structure to these different organizations. And with there being no kind of structure or government to them, it causes it has caused many different sects or groups or crews, if you will.
I see.
And there's really no allegiance to any one particular thing now. So where it is now and the mindset of approaching this is definitely would have to be out of the box thinking. It can't be any type of you do this and that's it. Young people today are looking for why.
I see. Okay.
And that's a great question. Why?
Okay.
Until older gentlemen or organizational type of influences can provide a why, you're going to have a bunch of irrational behavior, continued irrational behavior.
Wow. Yeah, okay, that's a great point. Now, I do want to, the question that we put on the floor is what makes, and I think you kind of hinted at it, the answer to it, what make so many youth react in violence toward one another? You kind of hinted at it, that there are unanswered questions for them. And so, but I don't want to take you. Will you speak to that, please?
You can't say it's one particular thing. I would disagree with anyone who suggests it's one particular thing. The problem is an onion. There are many layers to it. You have situations, and it's not just gangs or the idea of gangs. You have the breakdown in a family, which many experts would probably say that would be one of the reasons young people turn to gangs or turn to some kind of structure or companionship because of the influence of family or structure in the home.
Okay.
There's so many different
factors.
Things that impact you today that cause the irrational behavior. There's just no one thing. As adults, we failed them tremendously. And that alone begs the question, what's going on? And I'm going to act out. And what you're witnessing, especially when you say things like suicide by cop, I find it difficult to believe that young people want to die. I do believe that they are begging, pleading, starving for attention.
Okay, let me push back on you for a second. In previous shows, we listened to some of the music of Pastor Troy and C. Murda. And Pastor Waller would tell you this, that what we heard from them is, and of course this was a rap song, but this is the efficacy or the expectation for a lot of young people who buy into the lyrics of their song. They were saying, particularly Pastor Troy was saying that he ready to die. We ready. We ready to go. We ready to fight, and we'll lay down our life. And C. Murda said we don't care about nobody but ourselves, right? So now, are you saying that I think I understand what you're saying in terms of nobody want to die, but if you have no other options for living happily, why would you want to continue living like you are? And all you know is at least death will put you out your misery. Are you with me on that?
I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
Okay. Now, it's not a good thing. Let me say, I'm not suggesting that this by no means is healthy mentality. I don't want to give that impression. We're trying to walk around in the four walls of a violent youth mind tonight to understand how we can tear those walls down. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is there's no logic to that, to the lyrics of that, or to the thought process of I'm ready to die. One would ask or begs the question, die for what?
Malcolm
X said that if a person haven't found something to live for, he has nothing to die for.
Okay.
And a lot of times, the behavior that you're experiencing, in my opinion, is the result of a learned behavior. America is a very violent country. And it instills thought and instills a gangster mentality amongst people. And when you instill that thought of amongst a young mind who don't know how to digest that or to handle that.
Okay.
They say in one show you created a monster, and that's what you've done.
Okay. Now, so Pastor Waller, do you follow that line of that logic there?
I think he's put it on the line, man, and I want to say to you, brother, I appreciate everything you're saying, Brother Dockery. I know there's a tough thing going on up in Chicago and various places, but everything that you said, I'm right there with you, and I want to just share some of the things that I know that takes place here in the city of Nashville and many other places that I have gone and been able to talk to other people that I'm affiliated with.
Mm-hmm.
To be lured into something, I want to take, for example, let's say there's a dice game going on. I'm lured into, never shot dice a day in my life, and all of a sudden I find an interest in it. I've been lured into participating in it now. It's the same thing with the rap music. See, there's power in words. And if they don't understand that, of course, as I said earlier, not everybody know about the Bible, and it's understandable because I was one of the most ignorant individuals that I know growing up. Didn't have no Bible, related with it, didn't come from a parent home that dealt with church or anything like that. So I dealt with street life. And when I was lured to street life, I became the very thing I was lured into. And so there was a language. There was a certain way you carry yourself and things like that. But at that time, we may call it, it was pretty hip. You know, it wasn't nothing really drastic about it or anything like that. It was popular. It was worth being into. But not knowing, I was ignorant of what was to come from what I was in. So let's just say the rap game come out. And people start talking, and they're talking their gangster talk one to another, and all of a sudden they become the very thing that they're speaking about. And now they got a tough mentality going on inside of them, and that's what has happened, and it's increasing, see, and it's elevating. And you said it best earlier, man. I love what you said. We have let the generation down. We put them down, man. We didn't hear the cry, and we're not. And that's what they're doing now. They're out there crying out for somebody. You're talking about attention. They want somebody to be able to reach them where they are. And again, the Word of God says, I poured out my complaint. You know, that means that David said, you know, he poured it out. He didn't just say them one thing, because there's many layers, as you said, many areas that they're captured by. And I tell you, man, if something don't be done about it, the question that Pastor Dockery asked earlier, is there any hope? And I said, yes, there's hope, because God just made a day. You see what I'm saying? That's where the hope is. And for my own community, I have to say I'm that hope, because I know that if he brought me out, if he brought me out and I say, okay, I know he brought me out of what I was in, so that's where the hope is. And when I so when I look at what I see, I can't go for what I see. You know, and that's why he said you walk by faith and not by sight. And if I go for what I see, I would say, man, there's no hope, man, because they're around here in Nashville now doing the same thing that they're doing in other cities. And it's so popular to talk jazzy to one another and to be ready to just, if you look at me wrong, I mean, that's part of what the rap is. It's causing me to want to check you now, you see, and it don't have to be in no game. And so, man, you said so much, man. I mean, with this little time that we have, brother, you stated all, you could be summed up with just what you said. And then it's people to work, you know, to say we've let these young brothers and sisters down, man. You know, why don't we get out in the street and do what the word says, you know, like that. You know, that's, man, you just said it, brother. I just got to tell you, man, you sure said it.
I really appreciate that. I dropped out for a second, but I got the gist of it. Can I say this, please? I'd be remiss if I don't say this.
Go ahead.
If you look at the overall picture, it's a sadistic culture because it glorifies. Look how it's glorified, how much destruction is and murder is it is in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of murder and destruction in Nashville, in Memphis, in Mississippi, in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
they got us so engulfed in the idea of who can top who with incidents. That's how sick it is.
It is, man. It is.
And it becomes a competition. It becomes a competition. And I believe in hope, but hope is a pretty word that we've been playing with for a long time, and it's now time for us to be to credit what the brother said. It's now time to be that example, and that's the hope.
Yes.
The example I'm doing to hope.
Yes, sir. That's it. I mean, that's the only way, because they're crying out, man. And that's the only way I'll make a difference. Yeah.
Are you all saying that hope has been robbed of his clothes and left outside buck naked and needs somebody to put some clothes on
it? It has.
And hope been shot on the corner here in Chicago. Yes.
Oh, man.
Sad, but it's true, man. It's sad. I mean, you got these young brothers, man. I mean, innocent young brothers, man, you know, up there. And I know they are because they're young here and innocent. But when you are ignorant and unlearned and don't know any better and get lured into something like that, it all starts out with being lured into. You know, I call the eyes of the innocent. Innocent eyes, young brothers growing up, and all of a sudden their eyes is focused in on what's going on, and then all of a sudden become lured into. You see, there's a thing that's causing it to elevate and increase, and until we do something about it, I tell you, for more pain. And that's where I feel like they deserve someone to reach out to them in a manner of not just that traditional, a man's traditional way of, no, man, they need some evidence of the power of change, you see. And they need to, if I'm in a trap and I don't know I'm in a trap, how can I get out of the trap by myself when I don't even know I'm in a trap? It was set.
You don't know you need
trap.
To do something to get out. Okay.
Check it out. It's so many. I don't mean to cut you off or cut nobody off. But it just burns me up when I get to talking about it. So many of our politicians or our leaders, or so-called leaders,
Brother Doctor. Yes, sir. Hey, Brother Doctor. That's a good
talk. Yes, sir.
And I think, don't lose your thought. Let me do this commercial break and let me bring you right back in with that one, because that's key right there. I see where you're going.
Yes, sir.
Give me a few minutes and we'll be right back. Just stay with us.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I lived to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Walking down the street, smoggy eyes, looking at the sky.
Welcome back to Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We on tonight talking about four corners of a violent youth mind. And we're grateful to have with us tonight a former gang intervention specialist out of the Chicago area and worked in with youth in general, Mr. Con Dockery, who happens to be my brother. And we have with us Pastor Ricky Waller. Mr. Dockery, you were stepping on my toes when we left for the break, because you were about to rail in on politicians in terms of the failure to meet the needs of young people who are caught in these four walls of anxiety. Talk to us where were you at?
I don't want to just jump on all politicians just the idea of a politician, but unfortunately, the politicians in our communities, or if you will, if you want to color code it, urban communities.
Yes, sir.
Has assisted in making that onion that we were talking about.
Okay, that onion. All right.
That onion, that layer.
Mm-hmm.
And how that works is when one field betrays, or find out that you are don't have my best intentions, or you don't. It's like a relationship with man and woman. And I think a songwriter said, when a woman is fed up, There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
It sounds funny, but I just want to speak real.
Okay, this is talk straight. That's what we do here. Talk straight.
When you lie to a person and have them to believe in your lie, and they find out that it's not the truth.
Okay.
You got something on your hands there.
Right.
And that person in power has something that these young people need. But the dangerous thing is the young person don't even want it anymore. Even if they decide to be honest and give it to them, they don't want it no more because you betrayed me.
You already lied.
I can't trust you.
Wow.
That's it. Right.
And
there.
If I can't trust you, I'm not going to do anything you suggest, even if it's the right thing.
That's right. Right. That is so correct.
And so
that's like a loaded gun.
Right. It sounds like that's what's related to ultimately the anxiety that morphs from that fear.
Absolutely.
I don't know who I can trust.
Absolutely.
So I lean to my own understanding because I can't trust my mama, my daddy.
I'm smoking weed with my mama. I can't trust her because she like one of my friends.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, wow.
I just beat up boyfriend up. He beneath me.
Okay.
I served her some dope. My auntie.
Yeah.
I served my uncle some dope too, so he can't really tell me nothing. And this dude at the church, I seen him over here last night with my mama.
Mm-hmm. What?
Go ahead.
The dude at the church?
My mentor was trying to holler at my girl.
What?
You see how you. That's no example, man.
It sounds like it's entrapment. Everything that has to do
with being looped.
When you're entrapped into doing something, man, I mean, you can be innocent and don't want to do it anymore, but since you have gotten thought into the trap, see, that's the thing about it. See, the trap did not look unrighteous from the beginning.
Oh, no, that's what makes it a trap, big brother.
Yeah, you see, the trap looked very unique, very attractive, worth being over there in the market. And that's the thing that has happened to so many and is ongoing because it's a setup, you know, for one to be able to keep them in captivity. You have to have the trap looking really, really nice. And you have to make it sound good, you know. You have to make it where it looks like they're feeling good, like they're having a very good time. And all these things, there's nothing good about it at all. But that's the form of the trap.
Yes, sir. Nobody want to explain the trap to us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some people.
But they
that
but
they'll
let you know the trap is out there, though. It's a trap.
Yeah, that's it. They're not going to explain it to you kind of way, simply because if they explain it to you, then you may very well take that information and start to apply it. You see, how can you – I played sports, and I love to play sports, and we used to have to, you know, do what they call a press. Sometimes trying to get the ball, turnover, you know, and we wasn't pressing the game. And all of a sudden, the coach designed a press. And it worked. You didn't have to work twice as long as it worked one time. That's all that matters because that's what the trap is made for, to make you like it one time. And once into that thought, one time. When I ran into the trap, I tried it one time, and it cost me 20 years of my life before I got free.
Okay.
You see?
So
this, I'm not saying this in any other manner other than just, you know, want to share the truth because that's what we're supposed to be doing right here. Man, it's devastating to these young people walk into a trap without no warning because no examples are being put out there. It's a lot of talk. And the action to go with is not valid.
Let me
Go ahead.
Let me get this clarity, Pastor. Are you suggesting that those who have been trusted as experts, who have been trusted as the authority in matters of addressing these issues you gentlemen have laid out here so thoroughly, that they can't be trusted?
No, they can't be trusted. I answered that.
You said it earlier. You said they can't be trusted because
they
lied to them, you know, misled them,
well,
and things like
that. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Y'all got me on the cross now. Let me get down here. Help me down here. What must I do to regain this trust of this pookie who's stuck in four walls of his mind?
Man, that's a good question right there. And I think you...
I got an answer for it.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, sir. Go ahead. I like that.
Come on with it, then.
Shoot yourself and get out of the way.
man, you hit something right there, man.
Wait a minute.
The problem is, so many people on a pedestal to be the answer. Right?
Okay. All right.
And that very person is the very detriment to our progress.
Yeah,
interesting.
That is
now,
interesting.
Gentlemen.
But this is the thing. This is the thing.
All right, go ahead.
We just don't want to upset anything by calling it out.
Okay.
It's almost like the molester and the molested. This can keep going. Don't you tell nobody. Don't you tell nobody. Just keep this is our secret. Don't snitch. Don't do nothing about it.
All right.
But the whole house is in shambles. And everybody in the house know what's going on. But we don't want to embarrass the house because it might look bad to somebody.
I see.
Don't ask for a grant to get these young people some work because, you know, that ain't going to look good with us begging. It look like we beg. Ain't that big?
That's deep. So you're saying there are things that could be done, but because somebody's trying to protect the image of what they said they done already and their success rate, they don't want to act on it just so they won't look bad because it'll pull the cover off. Is that what I'm hearing?
Am I saying that it's policies in place to say that, man? They say it's money there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's money there.
Let me say something. I'm not just speaking from the mantra of a preacher or a talk show host, but from the position of a social scientist who believe in process and procedure, right? Principle, process and procedure. And it leads me to believe, gentlemen, that just like we got in this trap, if we give note to the inactions, the ignorance, and the things that we avoided and ignored that got us in the trap, i.e. the first step there, that there is a process by which we can get out. And that's what I'd like for us to try to get to in these last 35 minutes. What can we do? Because here's the thing. I'm getting ready to go to Columbus next week, and I'll be there for a few days on the ground. And my sole purpose is to talk to key individuals about how we can get young folk out of the trap of winding up in the grave before they reach 21. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I don't want to go there shooting no jazz or playing games. I need some concrete stuff. Y'all help me with this now. I'm on the cross. Let me get down.
Yeah, okay, man. That's deep, man. I tell you. If you don't mind, I'll share this right here with you. You know, what are we going to do about it, and how can we help? This is what you're saying. The main thing, what one have to do, and of course, you know, being that you're in ministry like this, and you know, the word teaches us, it says, if a man is overtaken in a fault, You who are spiritual, destroy. In other words, consider yourself being out there. See, the reason why I feel that they deserve somebody to wake them up is because I've been out there, so I got free, so I have to consider myself as if I've never been out there before. And since they are out there, I got to consider myself being out there in the position needing somebody to help me get out of what I'm in. And that's when you said it earlier about one shooting himself and get out of the way. Watch this here. Just yesterday, we were dealing with something, and I had a chance to look at the film. I hadn't seen it in over 20-something years. However, I was able to see this. The service that had to do with the topic was lead, guide, or get out of the way. Because that's not going on, because there's a lot of followers going on, which is fine. But leaders, okay, fine. But somebody must be in the way. So whoever's in the way needs to just get out of the way so the ones who lead and follow me can get the job done. That's the only way it's going to be. You mentioned about a double-minded man. Those are the ones that are in the way. Stable in anything they do, good, bad, wrong, up or down, they are unstable. That's what the word says. If you can see yourself being one out there, you're gonna want somebody to help you out, get you out of it.
Right. Okay, so the number is 657-383-0944. You still have time to get in the conversation. We welcome your question, your comment here tonight. We got another 30-some minutes here. Time, man, I tell you, time getting away from us here. But So the deal is, it seems like to me, gentlemen, as I draw conclusion to what you all are sharing with me tonight, it seems to me that you all are suggesting that maybe it's not the children or the youth that got themselves locked in these four corners of their mind, but it is the residual effect of grown folk. Is that what I'm – should I walk away with that understanding?
Listen for 1 second, please. It is.
Okay.
These kids didn't get this from nowhere, man. They didn't think to get up in the morning and say, "This is how I'm gonna be."
I see.
We are the example. We are the failed example. You were asking what can happen, the solution. The first solution is the step one, in my opinion, to a solution is to regain trust, you have to be honest.
Wow.
You have to be honest. You have to first say, "I failed you, and this is how I did that."
I see.
That's how you build trust back up.
Okay.
That's how you got to build the trust back up.
You start with an acknowledgement and an apology. You start with an acknowledgement and an apology.
Okay. Yeah, he made it.
And I can guarantee you, it ain't gonna do much for a little while, but eventually it's gonna set in.
It'll settle in.
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hey,
it's gonna set in because.
Let me ask you a question, brother.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Suppose when I say that, I get hit upside the head, and they said, "I know you did it," and they start kicking me. Should I get up and run then, grab my pistol and defend myself, or do I stay there and take that whooping?
Do you know what you got to do?
What's that?
You got to lay down and take that one.
Wow.
You got to lay down and take that one. Because
you know why
you got to lay down and take that one?
Why is that?
Because of the damage that you did to them. You guys, I'm not heavy into the Bible. I love it.
Okay.
The Bible.
Okay.
But
All right. They
say Jesus, if you will, was the perfect example.
Through
a lot for you and me.
Yes, he did.
And I know if he can go through a lot to get his hands nailed to the cross. Feet nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
You can lay down there and take that.
Glory be to God. Wait a minute now. Yeah. Wait a minute. So you're saying everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. You mean tell we got to be
don't nobody want to die.
No.
What I'm saying is what I've learned with working with young people is they are more apt to respect you when they know you are for real.
I see.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
That's powerful. That's powerful, right? Powerful, right there.
But when they know you're a joke, and they know, don't underestimate young people. They know when you're blowing smoke up their butt.
So game knows game. Is that what you're saying?
Game recognize game, and they say especially when it's in your face.
Old school game can be recognized by young school game. Is that what you're saying?
Real quick.
Okay.
Because the young person done experienced it all. They seen it. They seen it run on their loved one, on their mama.
Right.
Never benefited them.
I'm going to say this, Pastor Wallace. A key component here is for Negro, colored, black, Afro, African-American males to grow up. I'm talking about me now first and be men and accept the fact that we're going to have to take it on the chin from these little shouties. Because collectively, we failed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true, man.
So when they start cussing and calling you out and waving a gun and threatening, you got to be able to have the wherewithal to say, I understand, baby, that right now you're expressing your anxiety. And if I can hear you right there, I can keep you from striking out in violence.
And guess what you got to tell me?
What's that?
You got every reason to feel that way.
Wow. So you saying you justified and want to cut my head?
You got every reason to
talk to me about that, man. Come on, y'all. I feel like I'm getting down off this cross there.
Well, it's called meet them where they are, and that's where
they are.
I mean, that's the mindset you have. You see, and that when I say consider yourself being in that same position and want somebody to reach out to you, because I'm going to tell you this. I also discovered. The majority of them love when you're keeping it real with them, man. I mean, they will really appreciate you when you know that you're caught up into, not trying to belittle them, but you're trying to reach them. That right there, man, is major. That's major. Mm-hmm. And then they can tell, man, they really can tell, you know, the difference between, you know, trying to ridicule them versus reaching out to extend a hand to let them know that you understand. And, you know, and that's just where I'm at with the knowledge of knowing, watching these young brothers, you know, because I'm out in the streets a lot, you know, watching how they conduct themselves and understand what a trap is. And I don't go up and say, hey, man, listen, all of you all in a trap. I don't do that.
Right.
Every now and then one may ask me, what's the word for the day, you know? And that's a cry right there. They're crying out.
Right.
It don't have to be Sunday, you know. No, man, they just really actually, day by day, they're out there captured. And you never know when one is going to come up and just cry out like that. And so,
that's
you know,
right.
You may not remember this type being, you know, the truth don't feel good in the beginning, but it's good.
No.
For
you. That hurt. In the end, it's good.
Yeah, it's good for
you.
That's what they deserve. They deserve truth.
Right. I want to piggyback on something Brother Doctor said. He talked about the character we all know as Jesus Christ. And he alluded to the purpose of Christ coming on the earth and being around for 33 years. To answer what you said, Brother Doctor, the powerfulness of an example is what I noticed in reading about him is that he never was comfortable in a fixed location.
No.
But he was always in them streets.
Yeah.
Always in them streets dealing with
people who were considered to be write-offs or derelicts in many ways from society.
He wasn't running from
them. No, he wasn't running from them. He ran to them.
He was running from
them. That's it.
So,
how about this? I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
But how about this to add to what you're saying? He even gave you respect in the immoral thing that you were doing.
Yes, sir.
How about the lady who was a whore and came put on and wanted to bless him with some oil, and everybody was talking about it, telling her to get away.
Yeah.
Right.
What
about
her?
Big time respect.
Well,
let her put that oil on my feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time respect, man. Yes, he did.
Well,
he did that, and
he even let the woman who was caught in adultery. He respected her.
Yes, sir. Yeah, in
you
a
know,
major way.
He could have stoned him because he was certainly righteous enough to stone him. But her accusers basically got a chance to see themselves. But he respected the fact that even though she was wrong, guess what? These cats are wronger than you are because their motives are out of order.
She was crying, my brother. She was crying out. And
all right.
He was crying.
All right. Yes, so, gentlemen, one of the neighborhood that we researched in Columbus, Mississippi, is called the 14th Avenue North community. Like Chicago and like Nashville, they have a relatively high homicide rate and break-ins. People who have very poor academic proficiency, literacy issues, and things of that nature. The schools.
Why is always on 14th Street, though?
It could have been on 125th Street.
Hey, brother, I'm trying to laugh so I won't cry.
Oh, man.
110th Street in Harlem.
Oh,
well, but
okay.
But so there, what we are looking at is how. I like what you said. It's really about acknowledging that you have to come and say somebody needs to apologize, because, you know, Zane Holm was a Methodist theologian who said that if you ever see a turtle on a fence row, you better know he didn't get there by himself, because it's not the turtle's nature to climb on fence rows, right? The interesting thing about the turtle is it will hold on to that fence for dear life until it dies of starvation. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. Because it's ignorant of the fact that it was created with a hard shell and the ability to tuck its legs, hands, and feet in and fall back to place. Watch this.
Yeah.
Not only was the shell hard, but it was round in curvature, such that if he just put his weight on one side, he can flip over guys. And when he get on his feet, when he get on his belly, stick his feet and his arms out and look outside of his shell and see where he's going.
Still got something to work with. Got something to work with. That's all right there.
Well, I've been reminded that when I go, I must come in humility. Not like
absolutely.
I'm the stuff because I know what you don't know, and I'm going to help you. You need me. That's the wrong attitude to come.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. No way with that. Not at
you
all.
You know what, you will be amazed, person. How do they need you to help them?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Versus
yeah.
how you just gonna jump in and help them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what's going on with me. How you gonna help?
Don't even.
So, So the mistake is to start off with a presumption that you know enough about them to know what they need to help.
That you got the answer to what their problem is. Yes, sir.
Well, now, hold on now. Hold on now. I'm a social science. I'm wearing my social science hat now. And what I have taken the effort to do is to look at the demographic, the data, crime data, education data, health disparity data, social data, and things of that nature, to determine that there's a common issue in all these cities that we're targeting, Mr. Doctor. And it's the same people that are affected by the same circumstances or variables, right? Is that not, I mean, now, so what you're saying, help me understand, how do I use that information as I go?
How do you use that information?
Right, so that I don't give the impression that I know more about them than they know about themselves.
What,
does that make sense?
You know what? You know how you can use that information?
Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old.
You know, saying that it is a correlation thanks to the data, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You definitely know what failed them, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do.
That's what. That's why
and
you apologize,
did?
Right? And who did?
Who did that?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm following you. You're stepping on my toes again. All right, go ahead.
I've said earlier, shoot yourself and move.
Wow.
Get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the way. We have to remove. We as adults have to stop lying to our children, man, about who these people are who's supposed to be our leaders. They don't even know you.
Wow.
Hmm.
They won't even come to talk to you.
That's it.
I turned on the radio. I was listening to a station here in Chicago, V103, Steve Harvey in the morning show. This man has pumped these people. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This man has built a whole audience up to be their savior, man.
Mm.
And something as silly as this presidential election and him going to talk to a man caused them to disbelieve in him.
Okay. Okay.
Why is that?
Hmm.
Because you're trying to play two sides of the fence.
What is that called?
And you got cold. You in one breath you talk dogging them out.
Okay.
Then in another breath you going to meet with them. One woman said she don't see how she glad she don't have to go and break bread with the enemy. I mean just think about it for a second now. Just think about it for a second.
I'm listening.
When you double talking somebody is actually listening, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they see your angle. And you might have pure and good motives. But when you double talking like that eliminates your motives. That makes it questionable.
Okay. Okay.
If you follow me.
Right. That makes sense. So
young people have been lied to so long, man. I talk to them, and I'm sorry, man. Can I break this talk straight, right?
Yeah, this
yes,
talk.
Sir.
I talk to young people, man, and the words come out of their mouth is, I don't give a fuck what that old nigga got to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep. The age should come wisdom.
Right. Right.
Knowledge and understanding. You should crave that as a young man.
Right. Right.
But you've been let down so much, you don't even forget about it. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Something's wrong.
Now, I can hear some preacher friends of mine, Pastor Waller, saying to me, that doesn't meet decorum. That's out of order, and that doesn't follow the format or the proper structure that we're used to in the church. Is that a problem?
It's a big problem because... Yeah, it's a big problem because what is the format? The format is whosoever will, let him come. Come as you are. I mean, that's the format from what I'm told. You know, and when you're dealing with trouble, you're supposed to come just like you are. You're not supposed to be anything other than keeping it real. And if that's
it's
where
okay
they are,
for them ladies to wear them tight dresses on Sunday.
and you know what
wait a
doing.
Minute. Wait a minute. I heard Jesus before he left the earth talking to his disciples, tell them, go ye therefore. In other words, they had to leave out from where they were.
Yeah.
And he mentioned going to hedges and highways, nooks and crannies. You understand what I'm saying? So it sounds like to me that it's not about you being comfortable. I'm talking about me now. It's not about me being comfortable with the knowledge of truth that I have, but me becoming actually uncomfortable in situations where we are disseminating and sharing that truth in the event to make other people's lives come.
Guess what, Pastor?
What's that?
It's not knowledge. It's not knowledge and truth if you can't share it.
What?
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So is the tree fall in the forest or what? It wasn't
yeah,
nobody
had
a witness. Did it fall or what?
That's right. You have to have the witness, brother. You know.
How you know it to be true? You don't know.
Right.
Oh, man.
So we got about 11 minutes here, gentlemen. I'm going to take another break here. And when we come back, let's wrap it up. Let's bring some closure to this thing. We'll see what we can't do with it. I got a problem because I want to know why we always got to be at one another's throats, and I hope we can understand how to be friends here.
Oh, yeah.
All the party people in the house.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't
Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We have tonight with us our special guest, Mr. Con Dockery, a former gang intervention specialist out of the Chicago area, and our good friend, Pastor Ricky Walla, author of Still High, and our road partner, I'm going to call him. The number is 657-383-0944. You do still have about 8 minutes here to give us a call and let us know what you think about our conversation. Archive the show after which, and go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Look it over, learn about us, and shoot me an email or give me a call. But more importantly, make your mind up today that you're going to support us financially with your tax-deductible contribution to our cause. Now, having said that, gentlemen, we're getting ready to get out of here. But, Mr. Dockery, War said that, you know, we can stand in the same welfare line together. On the streets, we both talking and may not be able to articulate very well what we're saying, but we know what we're talking about. And we kick it, and we're from the same fabric or cloth. Why can't we be friends? Why we got to be at odds with one another? Because you're a Crip, I'm a Blood. You're a Democrat, I'm a Republican. You live on the east side, I live on the west side. Why can't we be friends?
You can be friends.
Oh.
It's not that you can't be friends.
Okay, well, what's the problem? What's the problem here?
The problem is we choose not, and we choose ignorance, because ignorance is so highly, highly praised, and it's the norm. It's what's sexy. It is the thing to be, because it's freedom.
Right.
One,
I got a right to be ignorant. I got a right to be
to do whatever you want to do.
And not even think about it, not even consider consequences or a risk, reward, or none. I can just do it.
How about this? You don't even consider your friend.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay.
So
okay.
We can be friends. And how we start to become friends is being honest and exercising some mutual respect.
Wow. Wow.
Some mutual respect.
Okay. Okay. Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm off the cross now. I can feel my feet on the ground, man.
Good thing. That's a good thing now.
We got 5 minutes. Give us something that we can walk away from this conversation with tonight and those who will listen to us later. Let me just say, I saw where we had people now in Georgia and California and New York. Those are not areas that we're targeting. But I was in Pennsylvania, and a significant number of individuals that are listening in online from across the country. I want to say to you that we welcome your call. Join us here anytime we're on. Tonight. Next week I'll be traveling, so we're going to modify our shows. There will be 30-minute segments on Tuesday and Thursday, and we'll have them at between 10:30 and 11 o'clock in the morning, but you can always go back and listen to them. And when we come back that following week, we will go back to our regular hour and a half spot on Tuesday night and Thursday night. But, yeah. Pastor Wilder, come on, talk to me, man. I can feel my feet on the ground.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, too. And I want to thank your brother for sharing things he shared, man. But what I think about the community and the neighborhood is that we did start out as friends. And when we started out as friends, you would think that it would be ongoing. It's like it's, you know, in Hebrews teaches me again and again and on and on, the 13th chapter. The first verse said, let brotherly love continue. That means that's an ongoing friendship. What causes us to be separated? That's the thing. What causes us to be separated? What causes us to be able to look back and say, man, we are enemies now? What causes that?
Wow.
And that's what we have to look at. And, you know, I'm just so glad that the friends that I grew up with we're still friends. And that's valuable. So what causes us not to be friends now on the north,
right.
south, east, west side?
Wow.
When we're all brothers, you see?
Right.
And the word says,
right.
again, it said, you know, a friend loveth at all times. And that's an ongoing thing, you see. So why can't we be friends? So we have to learn that all over again, apparently, because something has happened. What causes us to be separated from being a friend? Man, it's a good question. You know, but I believe that with the solution, we'll get it back on track.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We thank
yeah.
God for his strength and his wisdom, man. That's where it is. You know, it's interesting. We talk about neighborhood. But as unfortunate as you're sharing, the neighbor has been run at the hood.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody trying to be neighborly anymore.
Yeah,
well,
that's where the separation came in.
Well, Pastor, I say this. I think one of the reasons people can't be friends anymore is because friends, I believe, share equally.
Mm.
If we breaking bread and you got half of it and I just got a piece, that's going to cause a little envy there.
Yeah, that's not a real friend. Not a real friend there.
yeah, we ain't going to be friends like that. You sitting there getting full and I'm starving. That dog ain't going to hunt it.
Yeah, not a real friend.
No. It don't make good sense. And
right.
I believe that's where the fallout come in for all of us. The idea of not being valued as friends and break bread equally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I got 2 minutes. It sounds like we're going to need to do some educating to keep our people from falling to prey of ignorance. But we're going to have to get ready to get out of here. We're going to leave on this special message to our son, message from a mother to their son.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.